oral questions by members.
House Leader of the Official Opposition.
Well, Mr. Speaker, gas prices are set to skyrocket to $2.30 a litre. BC indeed has the highest gas prices and the highest gas taxes in North America. And instead of giving drivers relief, the Premier is intent on increasing the carbon tax to 38 cents per litre and handing out carbon tax kickbacks. Now, yesterday, the Energy Minister claimed, and I quote, "We have strict agreements with MMP," end quote. So my straightforward question to the Premier is this: will he release a full, unredacted copy of the MMP contract here today?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. Of course, this House takes this matter very seriously. We all do. And we know that grant programs have to be fair to all applicants, and the public needs to know. They need to have confidence that these programs are being managed in the people's interest. Mr. Speaker, that's why all the information that we've received to date will be sent to the Auditor General and will be reviewed by an independent office so that a fair and independent review of the entire situation can take place. We can get to the bottom of this. We know that's what British Columbians want. We know that's what has to happen, and that's exactly what will happen.
Opposition House Leader, supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the Minister took this so seriously that she did nothing when these allegations were brought forward to her office a month ago. She did nothing when the opposition asked questions of her on this matter last week. And she didn't even recuse herself last week when she voted against referring the matter to the Auditor General to look into a program that's at the center of this scandal for which she is responsible. Let's be clear. Every step of the way, this government's mantra is, what can we get away with? Every motivation of this government is to deflect, distract, and engage in full-on damage control because they finally got caught and they finally got called out for their carbon tax kickback scheme. Now, the minister has known about these allegations since February, and it's only because of massive and building public pressure, largely on social media, that the NDP have been dragged, kicking and screaming to do the absolute minimum. Now, yesterday, the minister said that MMP doesn't actually make the final decision, and that's MMP's role is actually just purely administrative. So if indeed that's the case, then there's actually no reason not to release the contract. So again, I'll ask to the Premier, it's a very simple question, will the Premier release the full unredacted copy of the MMP contract here today?
Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, you know, to repeat what we talked about yesterday, we've received different information at different times. And last weekend, we received information that raises serious questions, further questions. We know that it has to go to the Auditor General. That's what's taking place here, Mr. Speaker, so that an independent and a fair review can take place. At every step of the way, when information was brought to us, we made the best decisions with the information that we had. Information that was supplied to us by Edison Motors, by conversations with MNP, not information that came from anywhere else, including from the other side of the House, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the right thing to do is to leave this in the hands of the Auditor General. He is the person who will take all of the information, all of the facts, who will produce an independent and fairly produced report for British Columbia. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Member for Abbotsford West.
The Honourable Chair. Well, apparently that was the right thing to do as of yesterday, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Attorney General. We have heard, the House has heard from her colleague, the Minister of Energy, that she received information nearly 2 months ago that if true constitutes a serious breach of the public trust, perhaps involving millions of dollars. Yesterday, in one of the more breathtaking examples of flip-flopping that we have witnessed in this place, the Minister of Energy conceded that she had received information that justified an independent examination, review, inquiry into this matter, which begs the question what the minister has been up to the last 6 weeks since she originally received the information. These are allegations of breach of the public trust that flow directly to the Minister of Energy's office. The question to the Attorney General is, has a special prosecutor been appointed, and if not, why not?
Minister.
Thank you, Speaker. Again, these are allegations that have been raised about MMP's role in two specific programs. My office has acted with all of the information we've had at the time that we've received it. When we received new information this weekend, again, it raised serious questions. These are questions that make it appropriate for the Auditor General to undertake the review. That's why we've asked the Auditor General to do that. In addition, we've asked the Comptroller General to do the same to ensure fairness for everybody. Mr. Speaker, grant programs have to be administered fairly. The public needs to know that public funds are being managed in the public interest. That's why we're going to let the Auditor General do his work. We've asked that it be done as expediently and as quickly as possible. He's going to undertake that work, and he'll report. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. He'll undertake that work, and he'll do so in a way that is fair, in a way that is independent of this House, with all of the information that is provided to him in his office, and he will report back to British Columbia.
Absurd West supplemental.
So, Mr. Speaker, the opposition is asking relevant questions about allegations that the government has finally conceded warrant investigating after denying that for an entire week. The opposition puts the question to the member of cabinet who has responsibilities for upholding the administration of justice, and the government house leader points to the very minister whose conduct is being called into question as the appropriate person to answer the question. Mr. Speaker, that is absurd. And it's why people are doubting the judgment of many members of this government. The Office of an Independent Prosecutor was created to address just these kinds of circumstances. Just these kinds of circumstances, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask the Attorney General again, in fulfillment of her duty as the Chief Legal Officer in the government, knowing what she knows, having heard what we have all heard about what has taken place here, the involvement of the minister's office, the information that's been received, the allegations of breach of the public trust, will she confirm for the House that a special prosecutor has been appointed? And if not, why not?
Minister of Energy and Mines. Members.
Thank you, Mr.
Members.
Speaker.
Let the minister start first, please. Members? Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, the member reminds the House that these are allegations. These are serious allegations that have been made about the administration of a grant program. That's why...
Members? Members?
These are allegations regarding the role of MNP in the administration of two specific grant programs. That's why we've directed the Auditor General to undertake the review. The Auditor General can, as he sees fit, broaden that review as is required. Mr. Speaker, that's entirely his right. And if he decides to do so, of course, government will support that. Mr. Speaker, it's important that the integrity of his process
Members.
Is maintained. Our priority is supporting the Auditor General's review. Thank you.
Leader of the Third Party.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Over the past week, this House has had to devote a significant amount of our time to dealing with a potential issue with grants program run by the Ministry of Energy, Mines, Low Carbon Innovation. The issue only came to light because of a business that was willing to put the public interest before themselves. We are fortunate to have this company in our province. Not every industry has this. And not every grant administrator is as blatant as MMP appears to have been. Even more worryingly, this government had many opportunities to investigate. Edison Motors and the three opposition parties provided time and space for this government to prove that they were taking this issue seriously. But at every point, the government was adamant about not investigating until the public pressure became impossible to ignore. My question, Honourable Speaker, through you is to the Premier, because this is a question of leadership. The public has a right to know if government grants are above reproach. To this end, will he direct his ministers to review all grant programs and present a report to this legislature?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. Again, we do have allegations about MNP's role in two specific programs, and that's why the Auditor General is going to undertake an independent and fair review. If he sees fit, he can expand that as needed, Mr. Speaker, and we will await that direction or intention that is put forward by him. But, Mr. Speaker, right now we want to maintain, of course, the integrity of this process in an independent office. We want to ensure, Mr. Speaker, that our priority remains supporting the review. So, Mr. Speaker, I encourage anyone who has information they want to share with the Auditor General to do so, because we have to get to the bottom of this. We have to make sure that these programs are fair to the applicants that are applying for funds to do incredible technological innovation here in British Columbia, these home-based companies that deserve our support. Mr. Speaker, that's why we have to get to the bottom of it. Thank you.
Member supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I asked a question to the Premier. I asked a question whether he would direct his ministers to review all government grant programs, because we're at a time when the public has some pretty serious and pretty valid questions about how decisions are made with public money, who gets that money, and whether those processes are trustworthy. I didn't ask the question to the Minister of Energy and Mines, who failed to ensure that the grant program out of her ministry was trustworthy, despite being presented with evidence that it's not.
Where is he?
I asked the Premier a question about leadership in this government, and I'm going to ask it again. Will he direct all of his ministers to review government grant programs in their ministry and present a report to this legislature that will be visible to the public as one step, one necessary step to beginning to restore public trust in how money is granted by this government?
Members, it's the tradition of this House, the Executive Council members, whoever is chosen to answer the question, they can answer that. So Minister of Energy and Mines will now answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, since the beginning, we've taken action with the information that we've received about these two specific grant programs, which is why, when we had new information presented to us this weekend, we felt that the questions being asked are so serious that they do deserve an Auditor General's review, and that's what's taking place. Mr. Speaker, that review is about these two specific programs. If the Auditor General wants to expand the review, it is entirely within his purview. So if the member has information that she wishes to share, I would encourage her to do so. Mr. Speaker, of course, this is incredibly serious. We need to make sure these processes are fair. We need to make sure that the public trust and the confidence in the way that public funds are administered is the number one priority. Mr. Speaker, that's why, Mr. Speaker, this
Members.
Independent an independent and fair review by the Auditor General's office is the right thing to do. It is what's going to take place to answer these questions. Thank you.
House Leader of the Fourth Party.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this NDP government is a government in crisis. BC has an affordability crisis. We have a housing crisis. We have an addiction crisis. We have an education crisis. We have a health care crisis. We have a carbon tax crisis. And we have an anti-Semitism crisis in the Premier's office. And if that's not enough, Mr. Speaker, we have a corruption crisis. This NDP government and the NDP Premier are embroiled in a corrupt scandal alongside cabinet ministers and the consulting firm that this Premier allowed to take dirty dollars and kickbacks from Clean BC grant money. Dirty dollars from Clean BC grant money. Mr. Speaker, BC taxpayers did not consent to this April 1st carbon tax increase, but if you're going to take money from them by force, 20 cents out of every single liter, is it really too much to ask that their money not be extorted by NDP consultants and grifters? My question to the Premier, Mr. Speaker, although I know he won't answer, why is this NDP government afraid to call for an RCMP investigation? What are the secrets they are hiding?
Minister of Energy and Mines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One place I agree with that member on is the fact that the public trust is paramount. And that's why it's so important to get to the bottom of questions about the administration of these two grant programs, Mr. Speaker. These programs that are administered by a third party, it is not uncommon for third parties to do so. In fact, they've done for other governments across this country. They've done for previous governments here. Mr. Speaker, having the answers so that people know that applicants are being treated fairly, that they are able to have confidence in the system, that everybody is getting a fair shake when they go and apply to government for money to support some really exciting programs. Programs that maybe the member won't exactly support because I don't even know if he believes in human-caused climate change or understands that it's incredibly important to support these BC-based companies in the work that they're doing. Mr. Speaker.
Members. Members. Minister has the floor.
Mr. Speaker. The allegations about the administration of these grant processes are the heart of the matter in this review. Should the Auditor General choose to expand that review, he can do so. Mr. Speaker, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We know how important it is, and we're going to continue this work and allow the Auditor General to do his work.
Thank you. House Leader of Fourth Party, supplemental.
Thank you very much, Minister Speaker. You know, never one to miss a day. Today, this NDP Premier has managed to stumble into yet a new crisis. Thanks to a fresh downgrade from Standard & Poor's, BC now has, on top of every other crisis, a credit crisis. The largest credit institutions in the world have taken a look into this Premier's mismanagement of taxpayer dollars, and they think he cannot be trusted. British Columbia is spending an extraordinary amount of money to get less and less and less for everyday hardworking people. That life under this NDP Premier, you work hard, you pay more to get less, and his friends and consultants pay themselves more and more with your tax money. And we truly live in a bizarre world where the
question
artists
member,
of the flip-flop are accusing this
member
government
question,
of flip-flopping.
Please.
Question to the Premier. Credit rating firms are losing confidence in your government. What new actions will you take moving forward to ensure less taxpayer money is wasted and extorted by this NDP government and its consultants and its grifters?
Thank you. Thank you, member, for being so soft-spoken also. Thank you very much. Thank you. Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. I'm happy to talk about it because BC continues to be an economic and fiscal leader in Canada. Our debt to GDP ratio is one of the lowest in the country, and our interest rate is the lowest. Actually, last month, the member must have missed this, Fitch Ratings confirmed BC's AA plus rating with a stable outlook, recognizing our solid position for a long-term growth. S&P notes that we are making capital investments, and they point to those investments as a change. You know, they changed the rating, and we knew that there could be a rating change because of, you know, their slower global economy, the inflation. You know, there's a number of issues.
Members.
And they did comment on our building. And what we know and what we've been telling investors is we inherited a deficit of infrastructure when we formed government.
Okay. Members will come to order. Members, Minister will continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the members are, you know, they're obviously out of touch because we have had to build hospitals, we have had to build schools, we have had to build roads, we have had to make housing a priority because of what we inherited.
Members, you're wasting very precious time. Members, come to order. You're losing time in question period. Minister, conclude,
Thank
please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We will continue to move forward with the credit ratings we have. We recognize that there's a global slowing economy, and it is affecting jurisdictions right across the country. But I will say that Fitch has reaffirmed their credit rating for us.
Member for Prince George, Vailmount.
Another day, more stories from nurses about the crisis of open illicit drug use in our hospitals. This unprecedented chaos of drug use didn't just happen. It's happening as a direct result of deliberate NDP policy choices. And the shameful thing is that courageous nurses came directly to this minister, but he did absolutely nothing. Day after day after day, until, of course, the issue was raised here, and then he must have gotten a call from the Premier's office because he came up with his so-called solution of a task force. Well, I can tell the minister that no task force is going to make nurses feel safe, and it certainly won't end the chaos of the NDP's decriminalization experiment. So why won't the Premier do the right thing today and prioritize the safety of nurses and patients over their failed decriminalization experiment?
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. With respect to ensuring that hospitals and QK facilities are safer, taken very specific action. I just want to highlight some of those things, and not yesterday or the day before yesterday, but years ago. Nurses, members of the BCNU, members of the Hospital Employees Union, members of the HSA, came to us and asked us to take action on security in hospitals. They said that privatized security staff were not sufficiently trained to deal with the situation in the hospital. So what did we do? We restored the Occupational Health and Safety organization, which had been cut by the previous government, the one that was working on the safety of nurses. They cut it in 2010 when the leader of the opposition was Minister of Health. We restored it. We have put in place, Honourable Speaker, a relational security model that is trained by SwitchBC, in other words, overseen by nurses, to improve the quality of security in hospitals. That's 320 people higher in a year, just like we said we'd do. And we're going to continue to listen to nurses, to meet with nurses, and to work with nurses to ensure, and other healthcare workers, health sciences professionals, and others, Honourable Speaker, to ensure that they are safer in hospital. We have set records in the past year with recruiting nurses, Honourable Speaker, records in the last year in recruiting doctors. But we, of course, have to retain them by ensuring that our healthcare facilities are safe and good places to work, and we're going to continue to work to do that.
Member supplemental.
Well, we should be clear what this minister and premier put in place are specific policy choices that are causing rampant illicit drug use in hospitals across British Columbia. In fact, nurses are instructed to distribute burner kits, crack pipes, lock boxes to store their drugs, drug paraphernalia, and weapons. So we should be clear, this minister is facilitating the illicit use of drugs in hospitals across British Columbia. He can shake his head all he wants, but nurses across this province are telling him, are telling us, and are telling British Columbians it has to stop. It is his decision that is making this an unsafe place for workers in British Columbia. Straight up. Perhaps the minister would like to hear from the president of the BC Nurses Union when she talks about decriminalization. Here's what she had to say, and I quote, "Before there would be behaviors that just wouldn't be tolerated. But now, because of decriminalization, it is being tolerated," end quote. The minister, the premier, made the decision to use decriminalization as a dangerous experiment. It is time for it to end. Will the minister do the right thing today and cancel this experiment?
Minister of Health.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And British Columbia, since 2016, has been in a public health emergency with respect to overdose, Honourable Speaker. We know of the thousands of people who have died, and we know that action needs to be taken. That's why in every area, Honourable Speaker, of mental health and addiction care, unprecedented action has been taken. Often that action, including in this case, was spurred by support from all parties in the legislature. All parties in the legislature for issues such as decriminalization, Honourable Speaker. And we're going to continue to act both to protect people and to address a toxic drug emergency that has been, Honourable Speaker, had a profound effect on family members, on communities, on friendships, and on healthcare workers, and on nurses, Honourable Speaker. It's why we've worked so closely with the BCNU on these very issues, Honourable Speaker, of decriminalization over the past number of years, as we work with the opposition and others. And we are going to continue to do that work to ensure both that we address this tragedy, this damaging fact of the toxic drug emergency, and as well, Honourable Speaker, that we ensure that people in our healthcare facilities and elsewhere are safe.
Go on a mission.
The Premier has blatantly ignored repeated warnings for over a year. Yet here we are with undeniable evidence of taxpayer-funded drugs going directly into the hands of drug dealers. Prince George RCMP have the clearest evidence possible of the NDP's taxpayer-funded drug crisis. They witnessed the exchange of these drugs from users to dealers right outside a pharmacy. But this isn't a one-off event. Shocking, Health Canada data reveals more than a 300% surge in hydromorphone seizures, and the Auditor General issues scathing audits exposing the NDP's glaring oversight failures. What will it take for this Premier to end the NDP's taxpayer-funded drug trafficking and disastrous decriminalization experiment?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member. And what she describes is what the police are doing in our province is they are taking this issue particularly seriously. That's why they have investigations. That's why they launch criminal actions against those who are trying to divert from not just safe supply, but the general supply in particular, Honourable Speaker. They're doing their job, and that's what we're glad to see. We should not see any diversion, Honourable Speaker, but we know that it does happen. And what's important...
Member, please. Members.
Honourable Speaker, the only gagging that's taking place is that opposition. Every time they see a poll, it shows them going from opposition status to third-party opposition.
Members. Thank you, member. calm down, members. Members, it's almost over. Calm down.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I was asked a question. I was giving a serious answer, and then one of them decides to want to heckle, Honourable Speaker. What's clear, Honourable Speaker? The police are doing their job. They do it every day.
Members, let the minister conclude his answer, please.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I'll conclude by saying this. The former Solicitor General, who is the former Solicitor General, knows that under no circumstances does the Solicitor General direct the police in how they do their job, or for that matter, in what they report, Honourable Speaker.
The bell ends the question period.